We hear again the verses from our gospel reading this morning. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all surrounding region of Galilee. In the name of Jesus. Well, in Mark's gospel, the first miracle he records, the first chapter, is while Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and he frees a demon-possessed man. Mark doesn't record whether or not the man with the demon actually interrupts the teaching, but it's enough of a disruption when it happens that people see and hear the demon that's controlling the man cry out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This was quite a scene to everyone who must have witnessed this. Now, we haven't had demonic encounters like this one specifically, obviously. But the reality is that there is a real enemy, the devil and his fallen angel or demons, and they do attack, they accuse, and they torment us, whether we're aware of it or not. Jesus rebukes the demon, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. Now the demon had recognized correctly who Jesus was. After all, it's the same Jesus who made everything. He made all the angels, all men and women, and everything else. He's the creator. The demon also correctly knows that what Jesus has come to do, because he calls Jesus the Holy One of God. Not only is Jesus the God who himself is holy, but with this title, the Holy One of God, even the demon recognizes that Jesus has come to make people holy as he is holy. He's come to forgive sin. After all, Jesus has been preaching, we're told earlier in this same chapter. We're told he was proclaiming the gospel of God, which Jesus is making the unclean clean. In contrast, the demon here is called unclean and is possessing a man who is also unclean. He's born a sinner, condemned to death, and he's being tormented by this spirit. But it's Jesus who's come to set this man free or to release him. And the demon knows this. He knows that Jesus has the authority to destroy him. But Jesus simply speaks here, "Be silent and come out of him." This is quite the contrast from the TV preacher, the false teacher who makes a big deal or even maybe a production out of casting out demons or exorcism. Long prayers made up in lengthy, loud speeches, formulas, or something like that. Where Jesus, the Holy One of God, simply rebukes and speaks, and the man's free. Jesus has come to make this man holy, to forgive sin. He's come to make this unclean man clean. This is why he came for us men, the creed tells us, and for our salvation. Jesus came for us, sinners. Notice here, Jesus doesn't come in power, according to Mark, but in authority. And that's what differentiates him from the scribes that they had been hearing in the synagogues where he was teaching. The scribes came looking for and trying to demonstrate power, control over all the people. They had numerous methods for good, holy living, more principles than we can probably really imagine. And yet they had no authority, for that belongs only to Jesus. Jesus taught not like the scribes who tried to teach people how to behave, how to follow the law, how to justify or make themselves clean. Rather, Jesus' words accomplished what they said. Only Jesus, only God, has authority to forgive sin. When he forgave sin, and when he forgives sin, it's forgiven. And when he spoke, and when he speaks, demons flee. For although he has omnipotent power, because Jesus is Almighty God in flesh, he comes in weakness to sinners, and through what we might consider something simple, simplicity, or even the ordinariness of words. Jesus taught. Jesus preached. But Jesus wasn't just some teacher, some trendy new guru who'd come to teach new things for how people should better themselves or follow his example. But he was the promised one, the new Moses, the final, the ultimate prophet, and the final and ultimate word of God. As our Old Testament reading tells us, Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself require it of him. So Jesus teaches, he speaks, and he casts out demons as the final prophet about whom all other prophets speak. In Revelation, we're told that Jesus, or the Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. All prophecy, it's about him. He's the word of God himself. So the prophets only speak, including Moses, what Jesus gives them. And now he has come in the flesh to speak for himself. He is the greater Moses spoken of in this text in Deuteronomy, and the one who speaks to us now. The one who has borne all of our sin on the cross, taken it upon himself, and he's risen from the dead and he's ascended, who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we say in the Creed, from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. The author of Hebrews puts it this way, long ago at many times and many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. As the one who speaks to us, the Word of God in the flesh, tempted in all ways as you are, yet without sin, he brings his word of comfort to you. Fear not, he says. You're forgiven. Father, forgive them. His very word cleanses you. He frees you. He speaks you clean where you're unclean. He died for all your sins. He's taken it upon himself. He's nailed it to the cross, and it's gone. The psalmist in Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. And in our introit today, the psalmist rejoices that his sin's covered, just as your sin is covered. Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. So Jesus covers your sin. He bore it on the cross, and he makes you holy. Having washed you clean in the waters of baptism and placed upon you his very holy name. It's the name above every name, the name by which the devil and all his fallen angels flee. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, paying the penalty for your sin, and his rising again in triumph over the power of sin, death, and the devil, the demons have no accusation against you. They have no power over you. For this Holy One has removed your sin, and the devil has no power over you, because you belong to the Lord of life, the Holy One, who is with you always. As Paul reminds us, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's in our gospel that we see we have no need to fear, no need to be anxious, ashamed, for the Lord Jesus, who has authority over the devil and his demons, has come for the worst of sinners. He's come for the harlot, the murderer, the adulterer, the liar, all sinners, even the demon-possessed and oppressed. He's Lord over all creation and has entered into sinful humanity for you, to gather you to his name, cleanse you of your sin, and feed you his true body and his true blood for the forgiveness of your sin. And speaking of the Lord's authority and triumph over sin, death, and the devil, Martin Luther's famous hymn that we all know speaks of the greatness of this Holy One of God named Jesus and everything he's accomplished for you. In the third verse, he writes, "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not. We fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. In the name of Jesus."